You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. 34 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. Standing by for Casey Wardensky. Somebody's supposed to be joining us now, but has not called in. But we're standing by, like I said. Still to come on the program this morning, we'll talk to Dick Brubaker, former state senator. He'll join us. We'll also have Ray Malik, 1819 News, joining us as well. So make sure that you stay tuned for that. I believe it's got him now. Hello. Joining us on the line. Casey Wardensky, running for Congress in the 5th Congressional District. Casey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, thanks for having me on. Little delay on the phone here, but happy to be here.
Hey, that's okay. That's okay. Well, tell us. First off, kind of how the campaign is going, runoff, certainly a very competitive primary, but now we're kind of at this overtime stage with a week to go. How you feeling?
Oh, very good. You know, we're on strategy, which we were wanted to be in a runoff from the very beginning. We thought it'd be a crowded field. And the important thing would be to be there for the distinction in the runoff, and now we've got that. We saw a poll last week at a Signal, and you know, the footnotes matter and things that have footnotes were the ones that went up. My competitor did not. We went up 7 points, and now it's about turnout. You know, if the evangelicals, very conservatives turn out, things could go our way. And you know, if they don't, it could be a different situation. So our interest today is, you know, communicating with those folks, make sure they come out to vote and they understand the distinction between the two candidates.
It really is in a situation like this where you anticipated low turnout. Let's just face it, the primary did not achieve the turnout that people had expected. And when you get in this kind of low turnout runoff situation, it's less about percentage points or that, and it's more about addition and subtraction and then just getting your voters having that ground game, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so that's a lot of, grassroots activity now, and of course direct communication with our voters. We've been well funded all the way to the end so we could do that, and so that's what we're doing today and this weekend. We've got our debate tonight at 7 to 8 p.m. on Channel 19 up here in Huntsville, and that should draw some clear distinctions. So I think it's going to be in the hands of the voters here shortly.
What are you hearing? You've been up there, 5th Congressional District, and you know, it's such a precarious time in the country right now. So the federal office, obviously, a big deal. What are people telling you when you're out and about?
Well, they're worried. We're focused a lot on, you know, the folks that show up in primaries. So those are the doors we're knocking and the people we're seeing. They're worried. Worried about the direction of our country. They're very worried about the direction of the economy, obviously, which is, you know, quite dire, I believe. And frankly, the national leadership. They're beginning to get pretty curious about what we're doing in Ukraine and the amount of money we're spending there and how that actually advances U.S. interests. So I'd say, you know, worried is the word. And they think our country is slipping away, and they don't want that. They want it back. And they're looking for a change agent to change the direction of this country and participate with other conservatives to make that happen.
What do you, we talk about that at the national level, but also there's like some local concerns, I guess, maybe not necessarily concerns, but, the growth of Huntsville and the whole idea, you know, how the federal government plays such a big role in North Alabama's economy and making sure that is maintained. What do you see, you know, how do you see that? Congressman Brooks maybe wasn't as quick to embrace a lot of that. But if you're a congressman, if you're elected to Congress, how do you go about maintaining, I guess, Redstone Arsenal, NASA, et cetera?
Well, you know, frankly, when I was superintendent here from 2011 to 2016, I had the whole country to pick from. I'd been in a nonprofit that prepared military, business, and civic leaders to run the biggest school systems in America. Huntsville was the last school system that fit on that list. It was 200th biggest. But it was number one on my list because this area is vital to our country. If it does not do well, we will not have the resources we need to meet our national security objectives. And you can't be a great city and meet those objectives if you don't have a pretty good school system. And Huntsville, of course, was under state control. They had languished for 10 years. They had finally run out of money on a terrific tax base and a lot of weak hires. And so my first year, I think I replaced half the principals. We were very rigorous in selecting teachers and assigning them. Normally, schools pick teachers and assign them. Well, if you got failing schools, it does no good for them to pick teachers because A, they're probably not even going to get any applicants, and B, if they do, they may not actually be what you need. So we turned all that around, and that is part of a vision of a better Huntsville, and so better education. So we went from very poor and a deficit to a surplus in finances and, frankly, a surplus in education. We went up a third in graduation rate, down a third in college remediation. We're number one in cyber education in the United States. That was a strategic move I made because cyber is a terrific area of employment for this area. It fits neatly with space and defense, very high tech, high wage. And so I partnered with Army Cyber Command, the only school system to ever partner with a military agency. And the goal was to build a curriculum for this area and the whole U.S., and we achieved that. The Cyber Academy up here, I worked with Arthur Ward to bring that to fruition. And then as Assistant Secretary of the Army, I built the top layer, which is Junior ROTC Cyber, as an AP curriculum for the whole United States to take advantage of what we'd done in Huntsville. And so all those things add up to making Huntsville competitive. Good schools, visionary leadership, good city. And we've got work to do, though, because the arsenal faces major challenges. And I think it has major opportunities. And the opportunities mostly lie in space, and the challenges mostly lie with the Army. Army budget is under terrific stress. It's going to come down, and it's eating a lot of Department of Defense inflation right now. And Huntsville's done very well by the Army for the 20 years that the Army was, you know, the lead agency fighting the war on terror in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, since we're talking about education, your opponent's been dinging you for the critical race theory. If you want to respond to that, what do you make of that? Or what do you think of that charge?
Well, I mean, it's politics, so anything your opponent can find that he thinks gives him an edge, they're going to talk about, and that's to be expected. But what they don't talk about is, you know, the third of school systems in our state that are still under federal control. Huntsville's one of them, and Madison County schools are also. You never hear that mentioned anywhere by elected officials. And yet that was all the result of state law. The state decided as a matter of law and policy to segregate. And the federal government said, no, we don't. And in the 70s, they imposed federal court orders on many, many systems here. And a third of them are still under the control of federal judges. Huntsville's one of them. Madison County's another. And that means they're in charge. And if they want to impose on you what they imposed on Huntsville in 2015 was, a thing called, culturally responsive training. And this was to basically, you know, if understand the culture of the kids you're teaching. So when you teach, you know, it's relevant to their world. You don't bring in a bunch of kids in poverty and then treat them like they're sort of, you know, middle-class suburban kids and talk after Christmas about all the gifts they got because they probably got no gifts. You don't do, you know, what you do on your summer vacation with those kids because they probably didn't have a summer vacation. And you try to attune your instruction to their circumstances. Now, you know, did some visiting contractor stick something in there on CRT? But perhaps. If we found it, we would have thrown it out of there because it's got nothing to do with culturally responsive teaching. You know, so leaders have, you know, a small part of it is giving direction, and the other part is checking. And so, you know, when you check and you find stuff you don't like, you get rid of it. And if that entailed going back to the court, we would have gone back to the court. Nobody raised it in the community. There were three hearings at the high schools when the order was imposed. Every year, citizens had a chance to interact quarterly and monthly with an advisory committee the judge put in place. No mention of any of that there. So if it existed, it was it didn't come up on the radar. And if it had come up on the radar, it would have been out of here because racist theories are not part of desegregation.
Joined by Casey Wardinsky. He's a candidate for the 5th Congressional District up in North Alabama. Casey, I want to lean on your military expertise here. It's not been on the radar lately. I guess we're, the media, I should say, somewhat obsessed with January 6th for whatever reason. Well, we know the reason. But beyond that, Ukraine's still kind of underway. This will probably, if you are elected to Congress, this may very well be a vote you have to cast. How much more should we give the Ukrainians? Are we doing it right? What do you make of what's going on there?
Anytime parties go to war, at least half of them are wrong, and sometimes all of them are wrong. This case, the Russians are wrong. It wasn't going to be 3 days, but they are making progress. They're grinding the Ukrainian army down. And I think our side of the equation was definitely wrong with their economic warfare. I think it's playing to Russia's advantage now. The ruble has fully recovered. Their currency is fully recovered to where it was before the war. They're making a lot more on energy today than they were before the war. They've found a way to work around our sanctions. About 85% of the world's population is not participating in those sanctions. Western Europe is, Japan, we are, and so forth. But India, China, Africa, Middle East are not participating. And it's creating an alternative system to the one we thought we could use to put the strong arm on Russia. The economic trade, the SWIFT system that through which international banking is conducted, and the dollar. The Russians have almost converted to a commodity and gold-backed ruble now, and they're conducting extensive oil trade with India. India's making out like a bandit because they're getting energy at better prices than we are now. Russia is trading with China, of course, and so I think that's a failure. And Russia is not paying the penalty that the people in Washington want us to believe. And so this war needs to be brought to an end. It's killing a lot of people. It's going to lead to a famine in Africa because, of course, a lot of fertilizer and food comes out of Ukraine and Russia. That's not happening. And so it's now gone from being, you know, punitive on Russia to punitive on a lot of people around the world are going to starve. Punitive on Americans and Europeans with regard to energy prices and soon food and food scarcity because of the lack of energy, the cost of energy, and the lack of fertilizer. We need to wake up, and war is usually a bad idea, and this one's turning into a real bad idea.
It's almost this perverse incentive, though, right? The more turmoil Russia creates in the region, the higher energy prices go, and the higher energy prices go, more of a net benefit it is to the Russians. Now, I'm not saying that this is something that I don't know the Russian people necessarily find this to be the way they'd like to see things go, but we see this with the Middle East would do this, or Iran would do this, and it doesn't seem like the Biden administration is willing to acknowledge that, or they're just so wedded to their environmental beliefs that it keeps us from getting to a place to where we can kind of nip this in the bud.
Jeff, I think you're right. They've got a religion. You know, mine's Christianity. Theirs is environment. Their belief structure is we've got to get off of anything carbon-based and nuclear for whatever reason. I don't get that one. And we got to do it right now. And even if there's no exit ramp from the highway we're on, the highway being, you know, the carbon-based energy supplies, they're insisting we leave the highway and we go some different route. Well, that route doesn't exist. And so energy is going through the roof. And, of course, if there was an exit ramp, they pretty well boarded it up. There is no new drilling going on. They've taken a lot of federal land out of production. Of course, they killed a lot of pipelines that would make transferring energy easier. And they've taken us from an energy surplus situation to now a significant deficit position. I think it fits with their strategy. They got this religion of CO2 and climate change, whatever that is, colder, warmer, whatever. And we're all going to pay the price, and that's just fine with them.
Casey, last question here. We'll get you out of here on this. You did get the House Freedom Caucus to back you. Is that where you see yourself kind of fitting in the House with them? Is that have you figured out where you would be if you were elected?
Well, I've got a vision for what that would look like. Definitely with the conservatives. I'm a big fan of Jim Jordan and the Freedom Caucus, and it fits with you know, why I think I'm the right guy to go to Washington. If everything was great, I would have no interest in going to Washington. I'm a change agent kind of guy. I came to Huntsville to fix the school system. It was deep underwater, turned it around. In the Army, that was my job for the Secretary of the Army, was find things that aren't working right, turn them around, or get rid of them. The federal government's not working right. It is way too big. It costs way too much. That's where this inflation's coming from. It duplicates many, many state functions that are better performed at the local level. And so the vision is, you know, on the other side of this crisis we're going to go through, which is going to be very unpleasant, we need to come out in better shape. We don't need to just have what we have today that doesn't work. So we got to really bring down the size of the federal government, focus it on defense, which means space, and here on Earth. You know, a few other things that I'm allowed to do, but get it out of the education space, housing space, much of the transportation, the health services space. None of that's working right. It's too expensive. And so the conservatives are the right place to be to do that. They recognize the financial crisis we're in, and they recognize the waste that's taking place in the federal government. And they got the moxie to do something about it. So that when we come out of the other side of what's going to be a very dire situation, I believe, the change we have is a change that reinforces liberty and prosperity, and not one that reinforces government control, government, you know, oversight of our states, undermines federalism, and undermines, you know, rule by the people.
Casey, folks want to find out more about your effort or get in touch, tell where they can look.
Sure. Our website is friendsofcasey.com. That's the website. We've also got a Facebook page and the debate tonight at 7 p.m. I think it's streaming at Channel 19 and, of course, on TV.
As always, we appreciate it. Best of luck to you next Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Take care.
You too. Casey Wardinski, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
New York to Los Angeles, kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.